This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along. Today we remember the Roe v. Wade anniversary that legalized abortion back in 1973 in the United States. It is the 48th year since that happened. And so today we're going to be talking with the Expectations Women's Center in Lewisburg for the work they do when people find themselves in a tough situation. Shauna Root is the Lewisburg Center director. She's joined us today to provide an update and to talk about the issues surrounding abortion. Thanks for joining us on the program, Shauna. During January, I commonly talk with someone on the program regarding the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. You know, we tend to get more into policy and legality and all that stuff, but I wanted to talk with you as director at an organization that works, you know, on the front lines to offer people the alternatives to actually deal with the people themselves that are in that tough spot. So let me ask you first, you know, we hear the term pro-life a lot, and some people would say, well, that's overstating it because these people have other policies that aren't. But what does pro-life mean to you as the director, as a person?
Pro-life, I think for me personally, you know, it is really valuing every life, the life of the mother, the life of the unborn child, the life of the father, the lives of the support systems for our clients. And we value their lives so much and value that they are created in the image of God and they have been created with free will. We all have. And so being able to give them that freedom to make their decision is valuing their life. And so just providing a space for them, you know, that's safe and comfortable to talk about the challenges that they might be experiencing, the fears, what they're thinking about an unexpected pregnancy, and, you know, making sure that they have all of the information about all of their options to make an informed decision. We value their lives enough and their autonomy as created in the image of God that we know we can't make their decision for them, but we can make sure that they have what they need to make a decision that they hopefully can live with long term. That's what pro-life means to me personally, and I think, you know, to us as a center, that it is really focusing on everyone involved and meeting them in that place and hopefully offering hope, you know, and restoration in the midst of all the challenges they might be facing.
What is your sense of the average person these days and when it comes to this topic? I kind of tend to have two extremes in my life, the people that are on either side of this, but there doesn't really seem to be much middle ground anymore. What's your sense of, you know, the average person that says when they hear the word abortion, what are they thinking?
Yeah, well, I think that I would agree with you, Matt, that I think the issue is just as divided, you know, and people are just as divided about the issue, and there are the extremes, just like there were 50 years ago, you know, when Roe v. Wade was decided, and that there's a lot of passion on both sides. And I think it seems like the passion people maybe have become more rooted and established in their own personal view and on their own side of the issue, and maybe have become more passionate, you know, about what they believe. But I think just, yeah, in our culture and the things that we see in the media, you know, it very much is still an issue that is pretty divided.
How did you get involved with Expectations in the first place? What brings you to this post?
Well, it was a definite call, which I'm very thankful for, because it wasn't something that I was seeking. I had heard of Expectations, and my church, you know, had supported Expectations over the years. We had people come and share, but I never really thought about getting involved, and can't say that I thought a whole lot even about the work and the ministry and all of that. But I was in a transition time in my life probably 5.5 years ago now, and my pastor received a letter from Expectations, and they were looking for somebody to come on as a bookkeeper. And so that is how I started with Expectations, in just a part-time position, you know, in the accounting area and payroll and paying bills and processing donations and all of that. And so I did that for 1 year, and then the center director at that time was leaving. Her family was growing, and it seemed best for her to change her course. And it became very clear, we have these really awesome days gifted to us through Expectation called Dog Days, D-A-W-G, A Day Alone with God. And we get two of those every year for the purpose of just refreshment and seeking God's heart. And God clearly spoke to me on my dog day in July of 2016 that He had more for me. to move into the center director role. And so, again, I wasn't looking for it. And I was, I confess, maybe a little afraid of what this all entailed and moving in that direction. But I have held deeply to that call and have grown in my love and my connection with the work over the last 4 years. And not that it's been easy, not that it's without challenges. Yeah, I have a whole really awesome story, but I won't be able to share all of that right now, but it's very clear that God, you know, just called me, and I just really responded out of obedience, not out of a personal feeling or passion to be involved, but it's just a passion to obey the Lord.
For folks not familiar with expectations or you know, organizations of this type, give kind of a summary of what it is, what you do, and I guess that's really kind of changed and grown over the years as the answer to what you do. But give us just a summary of the organization.
First off, like, you know, we talk about pro-life, the pro-life movement, and there are kind of three different arms to that. And so this, just explaining this a little will help to segue into, you know, talking about the work that we do. But there is, you know, and people are called to be involved in different ways, okay? So there is the activism arm of it, you know, and just really trying to change public opinion about abortion. There is the legal and legislative arm, so working within the systems that currently are present to try to change the laws. And then there is the alternatives, which is where the work of pregnancy centers enters in. And so we all share a commonality of just believing in life at conception, believing that we have to speak for those who have no voice. And so our work, though, is different in that we do enter directly into relationship with the people who are really facing that difficult decision and that unplanned pregnancy. And so just getting to welcome them into our centers and just give them that safe place to talk and think through things. We do offer a variety of services, and you're right, things have really grown. God has really grown the work that we and other centers do over the years. And so, again, it's all in being able to provide education and information to help people to make choices that they can live with and hopefully healthy choices that impact them and their families and really their communities in a positive way. So people can enter into our programs at any point. If they are concerned about an unexpected pregnancy, they can come to us and get a lab quality pregnancy test. Our most recent addition to our services in the last 3 years, I believe, has been limited obstetrical ultrasound, which is just a really key piece in providing education. And all of this happens under a licensed medical director and nurses that are working within specific training and certification. But they are able to just find out and give information about the location of the pregnancy, making sure that it is an intrauterine pregnancy and not something that could be dangerous to the woman, where an abortion would not be needed for her. The nurses can also just confirm the viability of the pregnancy. They can look for the heartbeat. There is a significant percentage of pregnancies, about a quarter, that end in miscarriage. And so if a woman knows that, the abortion decision is not one that she needs to make. And then lastly, they can estimate the gestational age of the baby, which, just knowing how far along she is a really key piece of information in really thinking through what procedures are available to her and what she would be willing to consider. So we're really glad that we can offer those services now. We do offer the options education, and again, that's educating on what would it look like to parent, talking through that, talking about resources maybe that are lacking, that if somebody were to have those, that might make a difference for them. Educating on adoption, and also just making sure that they have information about abortion. We do provide information on the different procedures, on the potential risks and complications, and again, just making sure that she has what she needs. We offer what we call an Earn While You Learn program, and through that, we provide education on pregnancy. We walk with parents through the parenting years, and we also offer relationship education through that program. And while clients are participating in that and doing lessons and meeting with an advocate, they're also earning points that they can exchange for material supplies. You know, in our center, we have a store of donated items, and so that can be a great support and encouragement to them. We also provide services for those. Our heart is always to make sure that the women that we talk with who are facing a pregnancy decision know that we are here for them, no matter what choice they make. And if they choose that abortion decision and they need to talk with somebody about that, if they begin to struggle with that or have thoughts and feelings about it, we are here. We provide post-abortion support as well from the emotional and spiritual standpoint. We also just provide community referrals. You know, we know that we have specific areas that we work in, but clients may have other needs, and so we do our best just to get them connected to other resources in the community that help to support them and just encourage them. Most people are surprised to learn, you know, the scope of services that we do provide to our clients, and that's always exciting for us to just kind of be able to share that. And yeah, and like I said, people can come to us for that pregnancy test, or they can connect with us. Sometimes they get referred by another agency in the community because they know that we can offer some material support, but they're getting the education at the same time.
And I can imagine that the people who work there, the people who volunteer with you, they all have that real heart for the people involved.
Absolutely. It does take that calling and that desire to really enter into people's stories and their journeys, which can be really difficult work sometimes, but it's what Christ calls us to do. And so that is what drives us, is just love for people and wanting to show them the love of Christ just by being present with them, by listening to them, but then by offering some of the practical support as well.
I want to ask in a minute about people who want to become involved, but I would assume that the last 10 months or so has shaken things up a bit there, as it has with pretty much everything else on the planet. How has COVID affected expectations, and you know, what are the workarounds you've used and so forth?
Sure. Yeah, well, you are right. We have experienced the challenges like everybody else. We were closed for a few months, which was really difficult. You know, when our work involves the direct contact with people and having them come in and meeting with them, and that was really hard for us to be closed. But we also, like many people, look at challenges as opportunities to, learn new things and begin to maybe grow in ways that we maybe would have eventually, but maybe kind of forced us into that growth, you know, more quickly. So during the shutdown, one of the things that we did a little differently, normally people, to benefit from the material support we provide, they have to be enrolled in our program, but we just felt like we wanted to come alongside people in the community at large, you know, to be able to do that and get them things that they might need. And so we did expand. We had a grab-and-go service where if people needed, you know, parents needed diapers, wipes, you know, just some basic things, that we were able to do kind of a curbside pickup for them. And so that was a blessing to be able to do that. We have access to great resources. And just at the time that all of this was happening, there was our education program that we normally use through DVDs and worksheets in our center was growing as a streaming program. And so we made advances, you know, with our technology so that we could use that program. Just we could text lessons to our clients, do virtual appointments. And for us, that means connecting on the telephone so that they could keep up, you know, with things that were important to them, you know, in becoming the best parent that they could be or having healthy relationships. So that's been a huge area of growth for us and really enables us to serve more clients, because even under non-COVID circumstances, you have clients who may be in, you know, maybe they lack transportation, maybe they are sick and don't feel well enough to come to their appointment. Maybe they're having a pregnancy-related concern that they have to be on bed rest. And so this allows us to still connect with them, still get them the education they need. And so that's been just a huge, you know, a huge growth opportunity for us. You know, certainly like a lot of nonprofits, there have been effects on our finances, being able to do our fundraising in the same way that we normally would. So we've done two virtual events this past year. We had a tea party in July, and then our largest fundraiser, the Partners for Life banquet that normally we hold in person with 200 to 300 guests, we did virtually as well. But again, great opportunities for more people to learn about us, you know, with having that event online. People from out of state, you know, would be able to connect where they normally maybe wouldn't be able to come to an in-person event. Again, I think that we found that allowing ourselves to think about things differently and realize we needed to do things differently turned out to be great opportunities for us and beneficial for us.
Tell me a bit about the need for volunteers.
Sure. Well, there certainly are a lot of ways to be involved, and we really can't do what we are called to do without that support. So there's always, you know, the need for financial support, and we don't receive government funding, and so we do rely on just individuals coming alongside us, whether it's through one-time gifts, being involved in our various fundraisers throughout the year, or people who would be willing to give on a regular basis. And so that's one way to be involved. We absolutely rely on volunteers to help us carry out our services to clients. Both we have a center in Williamsport and one in Lewisburg, and both offices are typically open 5 days a week, and so that's a lot of hours to fill. So we have individuals who are able to serve as receptionists, just to answer phones, do clerical work, welcome clients, you know, into the center. We have the need for client advocates who actually meet with the clients, provide them with the direct support and education that they need. Sometimes we have special projects that need to be done, and so somebody who may not be able to commit to being there on a regular basis in client services may just want to be called on to help, you know, with events and sort of do as needed things for the organization, and that's always a huge blessing as well. So yeah, anybody interested in learning more about any of that can call our office in Williamsport and speak with Becky Montgomery. She is our center director there, and a phone number there is 570-321-8254. And in Lewisburg, I can be contacted, and my number is 570-523-6874. And yeah, we're always grateful to have conversations with people about their heart for what we do and how they might be able to get connected.
And they can check out the website as well for kind of a
absolutely
a nutshell.
Yes, thank you.
Expectationswc.org, if that's correct.
That is correct, Matt. Yeah.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.